night, baby. As I walk the streets of the Harlems of the world, the black Harlems and the white Harlems, people are depressed. They are frustrated. They are downtrodden. They see no hope. They see no tomorrows. And I say to them always, keep the faith, baby. I say this because all over the world, people are not receiving God. They're not getting the assurances that once were given. Promises have been broken, and their dawn refuses to rise. They're walking in the midnight of sorrow, in the midnight of frustration, in the midnight of despair. Too long have they been promised the good life by the great white fathers. Too long have they waited in vain, black and white, poor and illiterate, for the better jobs, better housing, better education, better hospitals. Yet the conditions have not changed. Except for those who have always lived in the penthouses, for the people who live in the basements, in the cellar, their lives are still drab, ugly, have no hope. And I say to them, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. Because God's realities always exceed man's fondest dreams. Keep faith in God, whoever your God is. Keep the faith in whatever God you believe in. Keep the faith. He'll take care of things. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll open doors that no one can open and shut doors that no one can shut. And it won't be long before he proves it, too. Keep the faith in yourself. You may be small to your oppressors, but you're bigger in your self-respect as a human being, because as a human being, nobody is better than you are. All human beings, black and white, rich and poor, equal in the sight of God. Keep your faith in the life of your fellow man, even though he abuses you. When he abuses you, he makes himself a lesser man. Ah, a great man once said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Keep your faith. Keep your faith, because one day, black and white, Jew and Gentile, Protestant and Catholic, rich and poor are going to walk the face of this earth with joyful hearts, happy in the togetherness of brotherhood. And the masses are going to run this world. The big man's day is gone. Not only because it is any man's world, but it's also and always has been and always will be God's world. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, baby. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by any foe, that will not tremble upon the brink of any earthly woe. Keep your faith, baby. Walk together, talk together, love together, worship together, live together, and we'll win tomorrow. Because God has no other hands than our hands. He has no other feet than our feet. And he has no other tongue than our tongue. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, baby.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Keep the faith, baby.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
My dear colleague, 44 years before the Son of God was crucified, a great man walked the streets of Rome. Giulio Cesare, or in English, Julius Caesar. He was not only stabbed to death by a band of his fellow Senate colleagues, but even after he was dead, each colleague came and plunged his dagger into his body. Since these noble senators were afraid of the consequences of their act, They decided that each one of them would make themselves equal assassins in this act of cowardice. Even one of his closest friends, Brutus, plunged his dagger into Caesar's side. And as Caesar died, he gasped, "Et tu, Brute, and you, Brutus?" Caesar's colleagues believed the people would forgive them for their assassination because they were all equal partners in the conspiracy of death. But the people believed otherwise, and the masses rose up in anger and slew all of the senators of their day. Julius Caesar survived the attack, even though his body was buried, because history, the final judge of all mankind, history vindicated him. He survived the attack because God was on his side. And there is today, as there was then, a God who rules above, with a hand of power and a heart of love. And if I'm right, he'll fight my battle, and I'll be free one day. And so now I'd like to address a 20th century letter concerning the conspiracy against Julius Caesar, and it goes as follows. My dear colleagues, many times we have been in battle together. We have fought together through blood and sweat and tears, all inextricably intertwined. Many times people were to take the sword against you, and I came forward to prevent that sword, that dagger, from being plunged into you. Many times you were drowning in your own sea of tears, and you called me to help you, and I was always there to rescue you. Regardless of which side of the aisle, Republican or Democrat, or which region of the nation, North or South, you lived in. But never did I call on you to help me, except when I needed your help for the people. The people, black and white, for justice, for freedom, for equality, for welfare, for education, for labor. But the one time I needed your help, the one time I wanted the dagger stayed and the sword dropped, that one time you were not there. One man kissed Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and betrayed him. His name was Judas. Before that, he told Jesus Christ how much he loved him. "I am your friend," Judas said to Christ. I wonder how many Judases there are today in the halls of the modern Caesars. But I forgive you. I forgive you not only because of my heart, but I forgive you because you knew not the cowardness of your deed. I forgive you because I have no words, because I'm keeping the faith. Once there was a great king named Belshazzar, who held one of the greatest dinners that the world has ever known. He invited to this dinner all the greats, the nobleman, the wealthy man, but excluded from the dinner the Jews and any other racial group except his own. But he was an illiterate. Why? Because despite all the bags of gold and the power of his father Nebuchadnezzar, they never had a program called Operation Head Start.
Tell us about it.
And on this evening, as they were eating with all the noblemen and the rich, suddenly, flames of fire rode across the wall. Many, many tekalapasin. And Belshazzar couldn't read it. He had to send for a Jew named Daniel. And Daniel came and said, "This is the interpretation of the thing. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." We are all found wanting in God's sight. In short, said Daniel, baby, you're finished.
Yes.
Here we live today in a society that is the most educated society that the world has ever known. More people are going to universities and colleges in the United States than anywhere in the world, and we still cannot read the handwriting on the wall.
Here today we live in a society where, despite the literacy rate in the history of the world is the highest ever, there are people, white and black, who cannot even afford to go to elementary public schools. In the United States, there are 1,500,000 white families in the area we call Appalachia, whose average income per year per family is $1,000 or less. What we need today, therefore, is a sense of Daniel, a sense of interpretation, a sense of prophecy. The cult of mediocrity, which America worshipped in the 1950s, has now become a blanket of mediocrity that has smothered the creative ferment of excellence. This is the creative ferment that made America the land of the free and the home of the brave, but it's gone. This was the ferment that sent farmers, rude farmers, if you please, illiterates, but nevertheless sensitive to God, to stand at the arching bridges of Lexington, Concord, and fire shots that echoed around the world. These farmers fired shots that destroyed the paid mercenaries, the Hessians of the British Empire, to give America its freedom. This was the creative ferment that gave inspiration to the black man, who was the first man, black or white, in the history of our republic to die for the freedom of our nation. He was Crispus Attucks from Barbados. Of course, we don't read about him in our history books because they won't write about him. But in Boston Commons, in an obscure corner, there is a monument to his memory. Oh God, send us prophets and preachers today to restore the creative ferment of American excellence. Give us what our forefathers had. Return to us the sense of justice and the sensitivity of freedom. When this nation was once torn between North and South, James Russell Lowell wrote, "When a blow is struck for freedom, there echoes across the broad earth's surging breast a thrill of joy prophetic that trembles on from east to west. And the slave, wherever he cowers, feels his soul within him climb." Let's strike these blows for freedom. Strike them with our minds. Strike them with our unbridled tongues. Strike them with our strides as we walk across God's world. Strike them with our heads held high. And let us sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Handwriting's on the wall today. Brothers and sisters, there's a message for us today. Let not your days be numbered, because God is going to settle all things in his way.